All right, so today we're diving into, well, it's a bit of a heavy topic, unfortunately. It's something researchers are calling the obesity epidemic.
Yeah, it's definitely a growing concern, and it's something that we're seeing more and more in the news and in research.
Absolutely, and that's actually what leads us to the focus of our deep dive today. We're taking a close look at a 2023 study from JAMA Network Open that links this obesity epidemic to, you guessed it, breast cancer recurrence.
And not just any breast cancer recurrence, right? This study really zooms in on a particular group of women.
You're right. So we're specifically talking about women who are past menopause, have early stage hormone receptor positive breast cancer, meaning their tumors need hormones to grow. And importantly, they're being treated with aromatase inhibitors. You might hear them called AIs for short.
And just a quick reminder for our listeners, AIs, they're a really common type of hormone therapy that's used to treat this specific type of breast cancer.
Exactly. So very specific group of patients. And this study, it found some pretty significant results, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, they were definitely eye-catching. And what makes the study stand out is that it wasn't a small one. They tapped into a massive data set from the Danish breast cancer group, a huge pool of information. And what they discovered was that obesity was linked to a higher risk of the cancer coming back, even after accounting for things like age and how aggressive the tumor was.
So it's not just those other factors, you know, age, tumor characteristics, but weight seems to be playing a role too.
That seems to be the case. And to really understand the potential impact here, the researchers use a tool called, it's a bit of a mouthful, hazard ratios.
Okay, hazard ratios. That does sound a little intimidating. Break it down for us. What does that even mean?
I promise it's not as complicated as it sounds. Basically, a hazard ratio, just picture it like this. If the hazard ratio is above one, it means the risk is higher for that group. So in this study, women with obesity had a hazard ratio of 1.19 compared to women who were at a healthy weight.
Okay, so higher risk, got it. But how much higher? What does that number, that 1.19, actually mean for someone listening who might be thinking, okay, so my risk is a little higher, but how much?
Well, for women with severe obesity, that hazard ratio, it actually jumps up even more. It goes all the way to 1.32, which is a significant increase.
Wow, 1.32. Okay, that does make it seem a lot more tangible. But still, what does that mean for someone with severe obesity? What are we actually talking about in terms of risk?
Essentially, it means their risk of recurrence, their risk of that cancer coming back, was almost a 1 in 3 higher chance compared to women with a healthy weight.
Okay, now that puts it in perspective. So for our listener out there, if you're in this group, if you're postmenopausal, you were diagnosed with hormone receptor positive breast cancer, you're being treated with AIs, this study is suggesting that, you know, your weight, it's something to definitely pay attention to. It could actually play a role in how well your treatment is working, which leads to a really big question, why? Why would obesity have this impact on how effective these aromatase inhibitors are in the first place?
That's the million-dollar question, and it all boils down to, you probably guessed it, estrogen.
Estrogen, okay. I think most people have at least heard of estrogen, but remind us, how does it fit into all of this?
So AIs, aromatase inhibitors, remember, their whole job is to lower the amount of estrogen in your body. Why? Because estrogen can actually fuel the growth of those hormone receptor positive breast cancer cells we talked about. So the idea is less estrogen, less fuel for the fire, less chance of that cancer coming back. But, and this is a big but, fat cells, or what we call adipose tissue, they have this sneaky way of actually producing their own estrogen. It's kind of crazy, right? It's like having this hidden estrogen factory in your body, and those AIs are working overtime trying to shut it down.
So the more fat cells you have, the bigger the factory, the harder the AIs have to work. It's like, what, trying to fight a forest fire with a squirt gun or something?
That's a great way to put it. I like that analogy. You're up against a much bigger force.
Makes you realize just how powerful those little fat cells can be, huh? But, okay, so it sounds like this study is suggesting that for some women, their AIs might be facing, like we said, an uphill battle against estrogen.
It definitely seems that way. And you know what's interesting? The study we're discussing, it's not the only one that's found this kind of connection.
You mean other research has explored this whole obesity and AI link?
Absolutely. There have been a couple of large trials. In fact, ATAC and BIG 198, you might have heard of them. And they specifically looked into this relationship as well.
Right. Yeah, I think you mentioned those earlier. But didn't they have kind of mixed results?
Yeah.
Like it wasn't a totally clear picture from those trials, if I remember correctly?
You're right. There were some key differences between the two. ATAC, for example, it actually found a much stronger link between obesity and, you know, a decrease in how effective the AIs were compared to the BIG 198 trial, which didn't see as strong of a connection.
Interesting. So same general area research, but different outcomes. Do they know why? What was different?
Well, one of the things that researchers have pointed to is that the type of AI the women were taking actually varied between the two trials.
Oh, so some AIs might actually be better equipped to deal with, like, handle that extra estrogen produced by fat cells than others.
That's a really good question, and it's something that researchers are definitely looking into. It's possible that some AIs might be more or less effective depending on a woman's weight.
Wow. That's kind of a game changer when it comes to treatment, isn't it? It all circles back to what we were saying before about personalized medicine.
100%. It really highlights just how important it is to find the right treatment, the right AI in this case, for each individual woman, taking everything into account, including her weight. We can't just treat everyone the same and expect the same results.
Maybe because everybody's different. It's like, I don't know, like using a wrench when you really need a screwdriver.
Exactly. That's a perfect analogy. You need the right tool for the job.
So are you saying ditch the one-size-fits-all approach when it comes to AIs?
That's what this research is suggesting, yeah. And it just underscores why more research is crucial here. We're just starting to scratch the surface of this whole relationship between obesity, AIs, and breast cancer recurrence. And it's turning out to be much more complex than we initially thought.
It always seems to be more complicated than we think, doesn't it?
It really does. And it's not just about estrogen either. There's more to the story.
Right. Because the study also mentioned a few other factors connected to obesity that could also be at play, didn't it? I'm really curious to unpack those.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're talking about things like chronic inflammation, something that's becoming more and more recognized as a factor in many health conditions. Then there's insulin resistance and something called dyslipidemia.
Okay, a lot to unpack there. Let's take them one at a time for our listeners. Chronic inflammation, first up. What's the connection with obesity there?
Well, we know that, unfortunately, obesity often goes hand in hand with this low-grade chronic inflammation throughout the body. And the problem is this kind of constant simmering inflammation. It can actually create an environment where cancer cells may be more likely to grow and spread.
That makes sense. Kind of creates a breeding ground in a way.
Exactly. And then on top of that, we have insulin resistance.
Right. Insulin resistance. Okay. Remind us what that is again and how it plays into all of this.
So insulin resistance, it's basically how well your body responds to the hormone insulin. You know, insulin's job is to help regulate blood sugar levels. But when your body becomes resistant to insulin, it means your body's not responding to it like it should. And that can lead to higher levels of insulin circulating in your blood.
Oh, so it's like insulin's knocking on the door, but nobody's answering.
Exactly. And some research suggests that these higher insulin levels, they could actually end up fueling the growth of certain types of cancer cells.
Wow. So inflammation, insulin resistance, and then we have, what was it last one you said? Dyslipidemia.
Yeah, dyslipidemia. It sounds a lot scarier than it actually is.
It does sound kind of intimidating. Break it down for us. What is it?
It's really just a fancy term for having unhealthy levels of fats in your bloodstream. We're talking about things like cholesterol and triglycerides, stuff you probably see on your regular blood work.
Oh, okay. So it's those things I try not to look at when I get my blood test results.
Exactly. But they are important because, again, it's something we often see with obesity, and there's more and more research coming out looking at the link between dyslipidemia and cancer risk.
So it's almost like we're not just talking about obesity in isolation here. It's like it's this web, right? Like
yeah.
You were saying, inflammation, insulin resistance, all these unhealthy fats floating around. It's like obesity brings this whole team of troublemakers to the party.
Yeah, it's not a party you want to be at, that's for sure. But you're exactly right. It highlights just how important it is to look at the whole picture, the whole person, not just zero in on one single factor.
Yeah, right. Because it's not like this study is saying, okay, if you struggle with obesity, boom, your cancer is guaranteed to come back. It's way more nuanced than that.
100%. This is about understanding risk and how all these different pieces of the puzzle might be fitting together. And like we keep saying, it all circles back to personalized medicine, especially when we're talking about something as complex as breast cancer treatment.
Okay, so let's bring it home for our listeners. If someone's out there listening to this and they're thinking, okay, I relate to this. I'm postmenopausal. I was diagnosed with hormone receptor positive breast cancer. I'm on AIs. What do I do with this information?
That's such an important question, and it's exactly why research like this is so crucial. It's not about pointing fingers or making anyone feel anxious or blamed. It's about giving women the information they need to have really open, honest conversations with their doctors.
So it's about communication, advocating for yourself, and coming up with a treatment plan that feels right for you.
Exactly. And for some women, that might mean talking to their doctor about whether weight management should be part of their overall treatment strategy. For others, it might mean having a conversation about whether a different type of AI or even a different dosage might be a better fit for them, especially given what we've learned from those ATAC and big 198 trials where the type of AI seemed to really matter.
And the big takeaway here is we're still learning. This is an ongoing conversation, and what we know about obesity and AIs is constantly evolving.
Absolutely. In fact, there's some really interesting studies happening right now looking specifically at whether lifestyle interventions, things like exercise and diet changes, you know, can they actually improve how well AIs work in women with obesity? Can they lower that risk of the cancer coming back?
Okay, so maybe in a future deep dive, we'll be talking about even more targeted personalized approaches to treatment. That's exciting to think about.
It really is. The more we learn, the better equipped we'll be to help women navigate this disease and make the best decisions for their health.
I love that. Knowledge is power, right? And speaking of knowledge, we want to hear from you, our listener. What if you were the one designing the next big research study in this area? What questions would you want to answer? What would you be curious to explore further? Something to think about, maybe even discuss with your own doctor. Because ultimately, it's about being informed and empowered to make the best choices for your health and well-being. And we're here to help you do just that. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive, everyone. We'll see you next time.